I'm going to start in John chapter 1. And begin reading in verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which would carry a lot of meaning in that day and time to the Jewish mind. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God," verse 37, "and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." I talked about that last night some, following Jesus. How far would you go to follow Jesus? What would it take for you to follow Jesus? These two disciples just heard him speak.
Yeah.
And they said, "Let's go with him." Well, what about your jobs? What about your families? They said, "We're going with him."
Amen.
I can't even get a missionary to do 30 days of deputation without taking their whole family. You feel that? "Oh, I just believe the family ought to stay together." I'm for you. I'm with you. If you can pull it off, help yourself. But I've seen some teenage kids get bitter traveling for 3 years, going from church to church that believes God only knows what. And by the time they get through 3 years of that and having to be perfect at every church, they don't want anything else to do with church. These two just heard him speak. They said, "Let's go with him." Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith to them, What seek ye?" All right, you're following me. What do you want? They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said, "Now what do you want? You're following me. What do you want?" They said, "Where do you live?" Really? Is that the best you could come up with? I wonder when I read that if they were wondering how comfortable it was going to be. Did you know that's what keeps a lot of people from going to the mission field? They're real comfortable with their house, their job, their friends, their family, their neighborhood, their country, their language. They're real comfortable with all that. Let's follow him. Well, wait a minute. Where's he going? Are we sure we want to go where he's going? Where does he live? He saith unto them, I was born in Bethlehem. And I've walked the Sea of Galilee, lived in Nazareth. Now, he didn't go through any of that. You know what he said? "Come and see."
Yes, sir.
So I'd like to get more involved in missions. Come and see.
Amen.
I'd like to get more of a burden. come and see. If you can get a burden at a mission conference, but I tell you what will elevate and increase that burden 100-fold. Go to the mission field and see. See the emptiness. The hostility. Because they're empty. And they're angry. And all they need is the Prince of Peace in their heart. He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, I've been a pastor now for over 40 years. And people often ask, they visit the church and they've always got some question that they want to ask. I think I need to talk to the pastor. Got a couple of questions. Yeah, okay, yeah. Ask away. And I get all kind of questions when people have visited the church. Things like, what do you believe about the King James Bible? Or they may just say, which Bible do you use? What do you believe about dispensational salvation? What do you believe about when did the church start? What do you believe about baptism? What do you believe about the Lord's Supper? What do you believe about the gap theory? I usually say, only one I know anything about is the one between your ears. That usually ends that discussion. What do you believe about the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6? I've been asked this. What do you believe about Christmas trees? What do you believe about the Easter bunny? I've been asked all these things. Believe it or not, people ask those questions. And I say, well, when it comes to the Easter bunny, you know, I know this. I've never seen a rabbit lay an egg. So somebody's imagining something there. On and on I could go. Things like, what do you have for the children? What do you have for the teens? What do you have for the divorced? What do you have for the singles? What do you have for the single moms? What do you have for the elderly? And I've just about quit even trying to answer all those questions. I read this one day and I decided I'm just going to start telling people, come and see. You know, when they start asking you all these questions about the toes on the beast and Daniel, and the beast coming up out of the pit in Revelation, are those real beasts or are those helicopters? Are those black helicopters and men with blue helmets? Are they going to start putting us in concentration camps? I've quit trying to answer all those questions because it's such a waste of time. You want to know what the church has got for you? Why don't you come and see? Just come and see. They said, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. In other words, he's looking for them to take the next step by faith. You don't need all your questions answered, and you don't need to know all the answers to go out here in your neighborhood and talk to people about the Lord. That's what keeps a lot of people from being a soul winner. They're afraid somebody's going to ask them a question they don't know the answer to. And they're going to be embarrassed because they don't know the answer to the question. Well, where did Cain get his wife? My wife's grandpa always said, from his mother-in-law, you fool, where'd you get yours? And her grandpa had another saying. He said, you know, that's the problem with this world nowadays. Everybody's worrying about somebody else's wife. Papa Jack Wood, he had a good answer for everybody, for any question. But I never was that quick and that sharp. So I just started saying, come and see. You know what we believe about whatever. Just come and see. You won't have to be there, amen, too many years and you'll get the answer. There are some questions I have never in over 40 years been asked. Not one time in 40 years. So don't ask me after the service and ruin my record just because you heard me say what these questions are. Is there Holy Ghost conviction of sin in this church? I've never been asked that question. Don't you think that would be pretty important? If you were going to bring your family, bring your children, put them in a church, don't you think it'd be pretty important that there be Holy Ghost conviction of sin? But nobody's concerned about that. Not enough to ask the question. I've never been asked, is there an opportunity to freely worship God in spirit and in truth? I've never been asked that question. I've never been asked, does the presence of God ever fill the service to where the church recognizes the Lord is here? I've never been asked that question. I've never been asked, do the people ever just worship and praise the Lord unashamed and give glory to God? In word and in action and in praise and lift up their voices and say, well, glory to God. What a blessing that we have such a God and such a Savior. I've never been asked any of those questions. I've never been asked, do the people in this church live a holy life? Do they believe in sanctification? No, the Baptists gave up on that question a long time ago. So I just started, the answer to all these questions for me now is, won't you just come to the Shady Acres Baptist Church and see? Just come and see. You'll probably know after three services whether you want to come back. You might know after one. It probably won't take as long as you think. Where dwellest thou? The Lord Jesus, when He said, come and see, He was inviting them to get involved in His life and His activities. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come and see where I live. Come and see how I live. Come and see what I do day by day. Just come and see. And if they'll follow Him to His house, it won't be long, and they will want to get involved in what He's doing. You get here to the house of God and you come faithfully and you come consistently and God will do something in your heart that you will want to get involved. You'll want to get involved in visitation. So I don't know what to say to people. I'm giving you the answer to that this morning. Come and see. Oh, where can you get it? Come to the church and see. What about the gap that come and see? What about dispensational salvation? Come and see. Come and see. What about the Bible? Come and see. Just come and see. You don't have to know one verse of Scripture, not one. Now that went a bunch of your excuses. Well, I don't know what the Mormons believe. These people are Mormons. I don't know what they believe. Tell them to come and see. It's the answer to every question. But you know what it is? We all want to look intelligent and spiritual. Because it's really not all about Him. It's all about us. It's not all about us. It's all about Him. And I'm telling you, it's easier for them to get a glimpse of Him here than it is out there. Greatest soul winner in our church, a man named Dean Sides. I don't know if he ever led anybody to the Lord outside the church. His goal was to get them in church, and as a result, he would have a grown man, lost sinner, with him every Sunday. A different one. A different one every Sunday. I said, Brother Dean, how do you always find some lost sinner to bring to church and get them to come? He said, very simple. He said, take a guy like you. He pointed at me. He said, take a guy like you. He said, you go to visitation on Thursday night. And you got two or three cards and you're going to drive out there and visit these people and invite them to church. But when you get there, their driveway is full of cars. And so you convince yourself they got company and it's not a good time. Or you go up there and there's no cars and you convince yourself they're not at home. No point in wasting my time here. And then you drive across Houston, you go somewhere else and the same thing happens. And you spend an hour, hour and a half driving around this big city, amen. And he said you maybe stopped at two or three places and convinced yourself that there was no point in trying there. And you come back to the church and you hadn't even visited anybody. He said, me? I'm a mailman. I deliver the mail. And he said, and he's a mailman, not one driving a Jeep. He walked his route. Put their mail in their box on their porch, and if they come out their door, they're fixing to get witnessed to. And invited to church. And his goal was to get them to church. He did it so much that the post office said, look, you got to quit. We hear that you've been promoting religious activities with your postal uniform on. That's against our regulations. You can't do that. So he just got where, you know, they come out there and he started talking to him. He'd say, excuse me a minute. He'd pull his shirt off, wad it up, and stick it in his belt. Just keep talking to him about the Lord. And if there's any interest, when he got all the mail delivered, he'd go back to their house. After he got the mail delivered, and he'd leave his shirt in the Jeep that time, amen, and he'd talk to him some more about the Lord. But he always had a lost sinner in church with him every Sunday. I tell you what'll help a preacher to preach. Look out there and you know a man spent all week getting this one lost sinner to come to church. And he's praying that you'll tell this man how to be saved. Amen. And other people in the church, they'll see Brother Dean Sides walk in. He'll have a lost sinner. And he's introducing him to everybody. This is my friend. Everybody was his friend. This is my friend so-and-so. I want you to meet him. He's come to church today. It's sure good to have him. Blah, 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 blah. Trying to make the man feel welcome. Now, you say, what's this got to do with missions? It's got everything to do with missions. You want your faith promise to go up? Let every family in this church bring one lost sinner next Sunday. Just one apiece. Just one apiece. Our brother Side said, the reason you don't get any, he said in 52 weeks in a year, he said you might really witness to about 50 people. He said, me? I witness to at least 100 every day. He said, if you'd witness to 100 lost people every day for 7 days in a row,
you'd probably have somebody in church with you. He said, but you're a preacher and you're not going to do that. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? Well, you say everybody around here says they're saved. Then invite them to church. That's what I'm getting at. Invite them to church. You don't need to know the answers to all their questions. You don't have to quote a bunch of verses of Scripture. Amen. Just invite them to come to church and be here and see what the Lord might speak to their heart. The Lord Jesus wanted more than conversation out of these two disciples. He wanted them to get involved. Now, I've been seeing enough activity around here just the past two or three days that there's a lot of opportunities for you to get involved. Somebody hung these beautiful flags. I think there's nothing prettier in the church than a bunch of flags. Somebody set up tables and chairs where we've eaten meals. Somebody cooked the food. There's been a lot of participation. There's been a lot of involvement. And if you're here this morning and you didn't have a part in any of that, you need to get involved. Amen. Amen. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It takes participation. We need everybody to get involved. At our church, we have men that have to patrol the parking lot because we're in the edge of a high crime area in Houston, and they'll just break into your car. You leave a laptop or a cell phone or a purse or, amen, baseball glove, just about anything, amen, on the seat where they can see it. They're going to bust the window out, grab whatever's in there, and take off. We've even had them roll in there, steal cars, pull in there with a wrecker, hook onto somebody's car and take off with it. Somebody said, hey, they must have been getting repossessed. So I went to them and I said, did you pay your note on that car? Yeah, I paid my note. I said, I guess it didn't get repossessed then. They said, no, they just hauled it off. Probably by the end of the service, amen, it's in little bitty pieces in a chop shop in an old abandoned warehouse somewhere in Houston. And all the pieces are going to Mexico as missionaries. After they grind the serial numbers off of everything. So we have men that patrol the parking lot. We have men in the balcony that look out the windows. If you have trouble, you want to have the high ground. Right, military men? So we got men on the high ground. Everybody gets involved. We have parking lot security. We have nursery workers. The hard part's finding a nursery worker that won't complain about it. They just love little babies unless they gotta keep them. Huh? I'm wondering about this. If they don't like babies, why do they keep having them? There's something wrong with this picture. Oh, you say it's because they love preaching. They don't want to miss the preaching. No, that's not it either. Because when I really get wound up, they start leaving. They don't love the preaching. They just want to come, sit, and not do any work. What seek ye? What is it you want? We have food for fellowships. As the years go by, it seems like we have less and less ladies who bring food, and they have to bring more and more food to make up for those that don't bring any food. Okay, I might be meddling here now. Y'all have plenty of food, so I'm sure y'all don't have that problem. But we do, so that's You can rest while I use that illustration. You did well. My wife has the ladies divided up in teams to serve the food, to set up, to clean up, so that you don't have three or four ladies having to do 90% of the work. There's plenty to do. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? Or do you have a bunch of excuses? Why you can't? Well, I got a baby. I remember my wife, amen, cooking food for camp meeting for 400 people and setting up a baby crib in the kitchen for two little boys to play in the crib while she's cooking the food for 400 people. I tell you nowadays, if a woman has a baby, she's crippled for the next 10 years. Well, I can't. I got these babies. You ever notice that the ones that say that didn't do anything before they had the babies? And they won't do it when they get to be teenagers? It's just an excuse. Involvement is not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent on your heart. Is your life all about you, or is it all about others? I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus is saying. Come and see. Come on over to my house and see where I live. See what's going on at my house. He's fixing to talk about involvement. He's going to have these men making 5,000 men sit down, and then they're going to be passing out food to them that he's miraculously breaking and blessing and going to feed the whole crowd and have more left over than he started with. I'm telling you, there's plenty of work to be done. Are you dependable, or do you have excuses why you can't be involved? You say, I'm never coming back. I don't blame the pastor for what I'm putting on you this morning. I'm just telling you the way it is in the United States of America nowadays. Everybody just wants to come, feel good, look spiritual, look religious, go home, watch a ball game. Get back to whatever it is they really love. There's plenty to do in the church, and there's plenty to do outside the church. There are tracts to hand out even in Ardmore, in Athens, in Huntsville, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Get the tracts out. Get the John and Romans out. If you start handing them out, somebody might ship you 400,000. Get the word out. Knock on some doors. Nowadays, get you a good website. That's how you get new visitors nowadays. They got to find you on the internet. 90% of our first-time visitors found us on the internet. Because there's a missionary to Colombia named Luis Bolaños out of our church that studied all that computer stuff, and somehow he figured out how to get your name at the top of the list. You Google Independent Baptist Church, Houston, Texas. Boom. First one, Shady Acres Baptist Church. I don't know how it does. I said, how do you do that, Brother Louis? Because I got a little antique business, and I'm wanting to get it to the top of the list, see? He said, oh, brother, I can't tell you how I do that. That's how I make extra money. He said, just some little secrets of the trade. You need to get your church at the top of the list. Somebody in here knows how to do that, I'll bet you. Get involved. Find an area that you can be a blessing in. Where was most of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the synagogue or outside the synagogue? It's outside.
He'd go into the synagogue and teach if he got the opportunity. And they were always amazed at his teaching of the word. But the majority of his time and energy was spent not in the synagogue, but out of the synagogue. So you ought to at least spend more time outside the church reaching people than you do inside the church learning how to reach people. The Lord Jesus simply went where the people were. It's really pretty simple. Just get in your car and drive till you see a bunch of people. Now, let me read some more verses. Maybe you'll like the Bible better than you like what I'm saying. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith, do you see how this chain reaction right here? One guy brings his brother, he brings somebody else, he brings somebody else. That's the way it works. But you got to get that first one. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, what? What did Philip say? Come and see. He didn't start trying to explain to him all the things that he had heard and all the things that he had seen. He just said, you need to come see for yourself. He knew if he could get him to come and see the Lord Jesus, something would happen. My wife's dad, I went visiting with him many times. And he would often tell people this. He said, he'd tell them horse stories and alligator stories in Paraguay where he roped them and dragged them out of the river and shot them with his .45 and skinned the tail and cooked it for breakfast. And he'd be telling them all kinds of stories. And just to get them to listen, just to get the wall down. You got to do that. You got to get the wall down to get people to listen. And he would use cowboy stories and alligator stories and get the wall down. And then he'd talk to them about the Lord for just a little bit and invite them to church and say, I'll tell you what, if you'll come to our church 6 services in a row, I'll never bother you again. Because he believed they could not sit in 6 services in a row and God not do something in their hearts. I must have heard him say that hundreds of times. So that's what they're doing here. They're saying, you just come and see and something will happen, just like it did with me. And Jesus, let me go to John chapter 4, and I'll wrap this up. John chapter 4. This is a woman at the well. You know the story. Jesus confronted her about her sins. He said, go call thy husband in verse 16 and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said. I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands. I mean, she was right there behind Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How did you know I got 5 husbands and shacked up now with a guy that's not my husband? How did you know all that? And they talk about worshiping God, and she tries to change the subject a little bit. And then he starts talking about living water. And she gets her a drink of that living water. You know what happens after she gets her a drink of that living water where she'll never thirst again? Verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She knew them all. But she went to town. And what did she say in verse 29? Come see. They said, we've never heard her talk about a man like she's talking about this man. He must be different from all her other men. She didn't know any Bible. She didn't know anything except that she met a man who changed her heart and changed her life. I say, church, if everybody in this church would focus on getting somebody here, it wouldn't be long and you'd be knocking that back wall out or building a new auditorium. And your faith promise would start jumping. Brother Bill Allen, great missionary preacher for many years. He's home of the Lord now, built churches in Catholic towns in Louisiana. He always said, if you need more money in the church, go fishing. He said, when Jesus' disciples needed money, he told them to go fishing. He said, if you'll go catch enough fish, one of them will have a coin in its mouth. So if you want the church budget to be improved, go get them. Bring them in. Tell them to come and see. And then one of them will be a successful guy that's making a lot of money. And when he gets saved, he'll start tithing, because that's what saved people do. Amen. Only the heathen make excuses why they don't have to. But if you're really saved, you'll count it as a blessing and a joy and a privilege to give 10% of what you make to the Lord. And then once you get over that 10% hurdle, faith promise comes a lot easier too. You know, I can preach on faith promise till I'm blue in the face and everybody else is blue in the face. But if they don't tithe, they're not going to give to missions. You tithers are the ones carrying the mission program. I salute you and say, God bless you. Keep up the good work. And for those of you who say, I can't afford to tithe, I can tell you why you can't afford it. When you don't tithe, the Bible says you got a bag full of holes. So you're going out there working, making all the money you can, but you still don't have any because your bag's full of holes. You start tithing, God sews up all the holes. Next thing you know, you're giving God 10%, amen, and you got more than you ever had. Then you start giving the faith promise, and guess what happens? You got more than you ever had. What a good God we serve. So, tell them, come and see. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. So I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. In these
arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Let not your conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to know your need of him. So I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Don't live your whole life saved and not tell anybody. They'll never know those 10,000 charms unless you tell them, come and see.